Good morning. I was here. I had to change the batteries. The mic wasn't on. It died out. We often, a lot of times, hear about all the great godly men of the Bible. And rightly so. They're godly men. Godly women are sometimes overlooked. There are roles, you know, we had a sermon months ago about roles in the church. And there is a definite difference in the role of men and women in the church. There is a differences of roles of men in the church. Not every man can be an elder. Not every man is qualified to be an elder or a deacon. But I love doing studies. I love biographical studies in the Bible. And I'll tell you, there's a lot of common threads of just great godly people, whether they're men or women. And a lot of the principles apply to us today. I'd like for us to take a look at two women of the Bible, two sisters, Mary and Martha. They also had a brother, Lazarus, who gets a lot of attention being raised from the dead by Jesus. But that's about the extent that you know about Lazarus. Not a whole lot is recorded about Lazarus. Quite a bit about Mary and Martha. And I would like to look at two very godly people of the Bible who happen to be women. If you would, turn in your Bibles to Luke, the 10th chapter. This is the passage that Garrett read this morning for our scripture reading. We see an account here where Jesus goes to their home, the home of Mary and Martha. Could you imagine the Savior coming to your house? To your house. To eat, to recline, to visit. I put myself in some of these situations and try to apply today in my life some of these things that people of the Bible went through. It starts out in Luke 10, starting in verse 38. It says, "Now it happened as they went that he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word." Before we go on with the other verses, you see an example. Here Martha welcomed the Son of God, the Savior, into her home. A lot of times women, there's not a lot we can do. Welcomed Jesus into their home. Had that attitude of hospitality. And her sister called Mary. We see an attitude. She sat at the feet of Jesus, listening to his word, attentive to his word. Those are things that we as people today can take away from them. But it says Martha was distracted with much serving. And she approached him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me." I picture this. Here the Savior is in your home and you're distracted. You're over here. You're scurrying around in the kitchen, getting a meal prepared, making sure everything is just right for your special guest. And you're missing him. You're missing him in your home. And she's getting a little irritated at her sister. Mary is sitting at Jesus' feet, listening to what he is saying, taking in his visit, while Martha's off scurrying around getting things prepared. Growing up, my mom would get so worked up at holidays. People are coming over. She wanted everything to just be perfect. The food was delicious. Absolutely delicious. I can taste it right now in my mouth. Tremendous cook. She was like Martha. So worried that this is this way. So worried that this is that way. That she didn't enjoy the event. Because she got distracted. Martha was distracted with much serving while Mary was sitting at Jesus' feet. And then she goes, Lord, do you not care that I'm left serving alone? Go tell Mary to help me. And Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed. And Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her. Martha, I appreciate what you're doing, but in the big scheme of things, it's not that important. I'm here in your home. I would rather be with you than the serving. There's one thing that's important. And isn't it a lot of times overlooked? The priority of a situation, the priority, say worship. We've come here to worship God, to study His Word, to take of the Lord's Supper, to offer prayers to God, to sing praises unto Him. And isn't it easy to get distracted? To be thinking about your sermon during the Lord's Supper. To be thinking about, I've got a prayer coming up while we're singing praises to God. I've got this, I've got that. Or what are the kids doing? This, that, so-and-so, they're not here. I wonder where they're at. I bet you they're here. I bet you they're there. And yet your mind is distracted from serving. My mind is distracted from singing praises. It is so easy to do. And Jesus responded to Martha. He goes, Martha, Martha, you're worried and you're troubled about so many things. There's one thing that's important, and Mary has it figured out. Martha was distracted. She was worried and troubled. Do we get distracted in our daily lives? Do we get distracted at worship? Just about life. We're singing praises to God, but thinking about problems at work, a financial hardship, situations with our family, others. Worry, you know, another thing my mom used to tell me, she's all, and didn't quite understand it, but I did. Tend to your own rat killing, she'd always say. Tend to your own rat killing. Well, we didn't have rats. Not to my knowledge, I never saw them. Tend to your own rat killing. Had no idea what it meant, but yet I knew exactly what it meant. Worry about yourself. Don't worry about other stuff. You tend to what you need to do. Sometimes we get distracted, worried, troubled about money, life, family, others. We worry about the past. The hardest thing to accept about the past is you can't change it. No matter how much you worry about it, no matter how much you dwell on it, you can't change it. We worry about the future. We worry and pay interest on worry on things that sometimes don't even happen. And the thing is, we're distracting ourselves from the present. We worry, we're troubled about things, and it takes us away from now. It took Martha away from Jesus being in her home. Not a lot of people could have said that. In verse 42, he says, "But one thing is needed, and Martha has and Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her." The investment we make in our spiritual priorities, those can't be taken from you. The time we spend with our kids can't be taken from us. The time we put into building a Christian home will not be taken from us. If we spend our time making money, money comes, money goes. Mary chose the good part. Matthew 5, verse 6, Jesus says in the Sermon on the Mount, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled." Mary had that hungering and thirsting for His Word. Matthew 6, 33, "But seek first," Jesus says, "the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." There's the priorities. Hebrews 11, 6. The Hebrew writer says, "But without faith, it is impossible to please Him." Martha was worried. Worry is a lack of faith. "Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him." Those of us that are Christians that seek after God will find Him if we're diligently seeking. This concept goes all the way back to the Old Testament. Deuteronomy 4:29 says, "But from there you will seek the Lord your God, and you will find Him if you seek Him with all your heart and with all your soul." Mary had that attitude. She wasn't concerned that maybe the house was a little messed up. She wasn't concerned about, are all is the food prepared properly and all that. She was listening to Jesus. She experienced the Savior in her home. Another example that we see from Mary and Martha is when Mary anoints Jesus. In Matthew 26, starting in verse 6, it says, "And when Jesus was in Bethany at the house of Simon the leper, a woman came to Him, having an alabaster flask of very costly oil." Preston, a few weeks ago, delivered a Sunday evening sermon that used the scripture, and it made me look at things a little bit different. I'd read this numerous times, and I appreciate Preston's lesson from a few weeks ago. Woman came having an alabaster flask of very costly, fragrant oil, and she poured it on His head as He sat at the table. But when the disciples saw it, they were indignant, saying, "Why this waste? For this fragrant oil might have been sold for much and given to the poor." But when Jesus was aware of it, He said to them, "Why do you trouble the woman? For she has done a good work for Me. For you have the poor with you always, but Me you do not have always. For in pouring this fragrant oil on My body, she did it for My burial." Mary was focused, understood what Jesus had been saying. She got it. Some of his own 12 apostles didn't get it. That I must go to Jerusalem. I must be sacrificed and die. Mary got it. One of the biggest events that we see involving Mary and Martha was the death of their brother and the resurrecting of their brother. In John 11, starting in verse 1, it says, "Now a certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary who anointed the Lord with fragrant oil and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore the sisters sent to him, saying, 'Lord, behold, he who you love is sick.' When Jesus heard that, he said, 'This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it.' Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that he was sick, he stayed 2 more days in the place where he was." Does anything strike you as funny in that? He loves them, so I'm going to hang out here for a little bit longer. A dear friend of mine, the one that is described that he loves, is very, very sick. And he loves Mary and Martha. So what am I going to do? I'm going to hurry there as fast as I can. No, I'm going to hang out here for a couple more days. It's all part of Jesus' plan. All part of something that sometimes we don't understand. We always don't understand when we're in the midst of something. We don't always understand the why. But it's usually in our best interest if we focus on God. Jumping ahead to verse 11. "These things he said, and after he said to them, 'Our friend Lazarus sleeps, but I go that I may wake him up.' Then his disciples said, 'Lord, if he sleeps, he will get well.' However, Jesus spoke of his death, but they thought that he was speaking about taking rest in sleep." The disciples, they thought, "Oh, Lazarus is just asleep. I'm just going to go there and wake him up." They didn't get it. Then Jesus said to them plainly, "Lazarus is dead." He's away from them, and he's telling them, "He's not asleep. He's dead. And I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, that you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go to him." And in verse 17, "So when Jesus came, he found that he had already been in the tomb 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles away, and many of the Jews had joined the women and Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Now Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary was sitting in the house. Now Martha said to Jesus, 'Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you.' Jesus said to her, 'Your brother will rise again.' Martha said to him, 'I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day.' Jesus said to her, 'I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?' She said to him, 'Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God who is to come into the world. We always hear about Peter's great confession. Who do people say that I am? People say, oh, Elijah, John the Baptist, one of the prophets. And Jesus said, well, who do you say that I am? And Peter spoke and said, you are the Christ, the Son of God. A lot of times we remember Peter's great confession. Martha made that same confession. I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is to come into the world. The Christ that we have been looking for as Jews, that has been prophesied about, I believe that you are Him. And when she had said these things, she went her way and secretly called Mary, her sister, saying, the teacher has come and is calling for you. As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came to Him. Now, Jesus had not yet come into the town, but was in the place where Martha met Him. Then the Jews who were with her in the house and comforting her, when they saw that Mary rose up quickly and went out, followed her, saying, she's going to the tomb to weep there. I love how so many people think they know what's going on. They think they know what's going on. They think they know the motives of people's actions. And I'm just as bad as that. You assume things. And isn't it easy to get caught up in that? Isn't it easy to assume that you know why somebody is doing something that they're doing? It's not always that easy. These people, oh, they were so confident. She's going out to the tomb to weep there. They couldn't have been more wrong. She's going to meet Jesus. Then when Mary came where Jesus was and saw Him, she fell down at His feet, saying to Him, Lord, if You had been here, my brother would not have died. Therefore, when Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her weeping, He groaned in the spirit and was troubled. And He said, where have you laid Him? They said to Him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. We see the human side of Jesus. Jesus was, in fact, in this account, it is a perfect example to explain that concept that is very hard to explain, how Jesus can be 100% God and 100% man. Jesus was brought to tears in this event. The man Jesus was sorrow. Then the Jews said, see how He loved Him. And some of them said, could not this man who opened the eyes of the blind also have kept this man from dying? Then Jesus, again groaning in Himself, came to the tomb. It was a cave and a stone lay against it. Jesus was groaning inside, not only that His friend Lazarus had died and seeing the sadness of the people, but Jesus was looking at things from a spiritual aspect. These people are wrapped up in the physical. And He's trying to get across to them, the physical is minor compared to the spiritual. Jesus says, take away the stone. Martha, the sister of Him who was dead, said to Him, Lord, by this time there is a stench, for He has been dead 4 days. Jesus said, take that stone away. Open it up. You sure about this? It's going to kind of stink. Jesus said to her, did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? We've seen Jesus as the man. Now we're seeing Jesus as God. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying. And Jesus lifted up His eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. And I know that you always hear me. But because of the people who are standing by, I said this, that they may believe that you sent me. And when he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he who had died came out bound hand and foot with grave clothes and his face wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, loose him and let him go. Jesus, through the power of God, raised a man from the dead. He's healed people. He's caused the blind to see. He has healed the lame. He has brought sick people back to health. He's turned water to wine. And now he's raised a man that has been dead for 4 days from the dead. He's risen him. And in a short time, he himself will be killed and he will raise from the dead. A study of Mary and Martha teaches us an awful lot. We can learn from their accounts that Jesus is the Son of God. And if he is the Son of God, we need to believe, obey, and follow Jesus. It's very clear cut in this account about that. It teaches us that we need to focus on the spiritual, not the physical. And not to get distracted. It is so easy. I don't know about you. Maybe you don't have that struggle. It is so easy to get distracted in life from serving God. Jesus is the Son of God. He rose Lazarus from the dead. He himself will rise shortly after this from being killed himself. Wouldn't it make sense to follow and be obedient to what Jesus says? Jesus said in Mark 16:16, he who believes and is baptized will be saved. If you're not baptized, follow the commands of Jesus. Follow the examples of those in the New Testament that were baptized and were added by the Lord to the number. If you need prayers, if you need to refocus your strength to not be distracted from all the worldly issues and to focus on Jesus, make that commitment right now to yourself and to God. If you have prayers that you need from the congregation, if you need to repent of sins, there is no better time than right now. Whatever your need is, please stand as Curtis leads us in the invitation.